The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
The thing I don't want to forget is this weekend coming up? Okay, look. Yes, I'm in the bag for this. We're going to have an Inklings conference again, and specifically Friday night, these wonderful people, Jim and Carol Shores, who we met at a C.S. Lewis conference down in, was it Kentucky? I don't know. Somewhere in the South. You know, one of these Savannah-like. Anyway, I won't get into that. But on the conference, the night, first night, they're going to do a play. Some of you have seen it. It's kind of the love story between J.R.R. Tolkien and his wife. And you would love it. It costs, I think, 10 bucks a piece to come. I don't think that breaks the bank. And we would love to have you here. So if you haven't seen it or if you want to see it again, they are wonderful professional actors. They're both, I believe, professors at Asbury College, and it has been my privilege, and again, a providence, meaning God's hand on our life, that I married Melanie, because she brings something to you guys. She's an introvert. She doesn't, you know, hang out and act crazy like I do. And what she brings, though, is a gentle motor that goes towards whatever it's aimed at, like a torpedo. And so she accomplishes things like crazy. You know, she's an adjunct professor at a few colleges, and she was like the tour guide at Oxford. She went to Oxford for a period of time. My daughter went to Oxford for a period of time, blah, blah, blah. And they made connections, which have helped us over the years. And so in the center of the summer, and we'll tell you more about this later, for those who want to go, we'll work with you to get over to something called Oxbridge, which is a gathering of God's people who are, you know, these people that read C.S. Lewis childhood books, and, you know, they've watched Lord of the Rings 50 times and this kind of thing. Okay, it's a little nerdy, I'll just be honest with you. But it has some of the, historically, some of the finest Christian actors in the world. It has some of the finest Christian scholars in the world. If you read the book we hand out here, The Case for Faith, one of the guy, Peter Kreef, a supreme evangelical slash Catholic theologian, is often at these things, sharing his faith and answering questions. So there's a lot to it. So we'd love to have you at that. But right now, this is what we want to encourage. Inklings. In the thickest bulletin in human history, the King's Chapel is known for thick bulletins primarily. You have these things, and they'll describe it, and you will have fun if you come and be part of it. And I think on day two, we'll have our scholars discussing the friendships between Lewis and Tolkien and their group of people called the Inklings, who to this moment, when you hear the name Ravi Zacharias, some of you may know Norman Geisler or William Lane Craig, they're on radio, podcasts, you name it. They are the apologists of our time. They were all tutored by Lewis, in essence. That is kind of their patron saint. No one's a saint in the sense of their works. This is a guy that was a wild man, but his mind just grasped after God in a profound way, and we've all been influenced by it. So that's why we do this. Having said that, we're going to go to a more childlike place, and I am going to speak very briefly this morning, maybe. No, I will. Okay, don't raise your hand, but I don't like preacher jokes that joke about how far they're going to go, because you know normally they mean it, okay? Now they were bringing even infants to him, and now I'm going to get serious. The Lord Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and he's going to be tortured and murdered. He spent a lifetime, someone asked about this morning in our New Testament class or our Bible class about why, in a sense, would the Lord refer to people as dogs? And he doesn't see people as dogs. But the flesh, human nature, opposed to him, cursing him, getting ready to shove him off cliffs, etc. There is a dark part of human nature where it is a kindness to call the person ruled by that a dog, That is almost praise compared to what we actually are left to ourselves. Read history, which is his story ultimately, but it is his story about a people he loves who are all coming apart without him. Now here he's going to give us a profound kingdom fact and concept. Let the little children come to me. I'll switch to anything you want, or I can yell. It says here that they were bringing infants to him. Now, he's on his way to Jerusalem. There are many in here that have suffered enormous stress through trials, divorce trials, business trials, lawsuits. I worked in a jail as a young man. I know the tough and seamy side of life too well. And Jesus is going right into the mouth of the dragon at this moment. Now, in that human part of him, we'll remember him suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. But at this point, if I were him, I would be stressed out of my mind. I wouldn't know how to walk and talk. I would just be a walking, blubbering dunce under the enormous stress. And his disciples maybe have some kind of idea that that's the kind of pressure he's under. I don't know, but I will tell you this. They have the wrong response to something that happens here on the road. Now they were bringing people, and oftentimes it's moms. You know, what mom doesn't love her kids? I mean, will lay down her life for them. I mean, these when a child is in the car of a carjacker, oftentimes there's a mom being dragged by the car down the road. She'll do anything to save her kid. And she sees the miracle work of the Lord Jesus, not only by reputation, but by sure knowledge. They knew that there was something special about this man, and he had healed the sick. It was rumored that he had raised the dead. He had cast out demons. And to get near him, to get within his vicinity, even in his zip code almost, was to be changed. And if you have your baby, you want them there. You know, when a president goes down a street, everybody pours out to see, and they hold up babies that he might touch them. Oh, this is much greater than that. To touch the hem of his garment was sometimes to be healed of whatever the infirmity was. And Jesus is coming down the road through your town. And so people start bringing their children. In some passages, the Greek is translated infants. Other times it's children. There's really no difference here for our purposes. What happens here is what we're looking at. They bring even infants to him. And remember, the providence of this morning, we had this moment where we're giving infants to the Lord Jesus. And our passage, selected a year ago, a year and a half ago, arrives today. That he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. They're concerned about their Lord and Master. There's a good way to interpret this and understand it. This is the kind of keep the children away. And Jesus called them to him, the children, saying, "Let the children come to me. And do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." I'm going to read this again. "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." I don't read like an intellectual. I don't read this like a cybersecurity expert or a champion of figuring out puzzles or a chess master or a massively brilliant theologian. You got to come to him like that. You have to have every answer to your every question before you come to Jesus, because that's being intellectually honest. Here's intellectual honesty for you. I've spent my life, because of my family, not because of me, close to the top of the game, with the personalities that you hear of on the radio and TV because of my father-in-law. And at the end of the day, they haven't resolved all the questions of their childhood. We are talking about a massively complex universe. And so, it should be very apparent that to come to Jesus, you will not have all your questions answered. There are profound mysteries in here. There are things deeper than any whale will ever go in the ocean of knowledge that one can have. And Jesus knows this because he created it all. He has this in him. And he says, ultimately, you will have to come as a child. Further, he wants children to come to him. Now, why does he rebuke his disciples? Why does he tell them not to hinder them? And ultimately, on what basis does he receive them? On what basis does he receive anyone? You know, he still opens his heart to the strangest people. You know, the Bible declares of him that he was a friend to sinners. Numerous times, they say, why are you talking to that woman? Knowing the dynamics between men and women created by God, we were intended for pleasure, and you know, there's a certain amount of attraction between people of the opposite sex. And when they would see him near a woman, there were questions being asked. I mean, he was accused of every indignity and yet without sin. And not only that, he was a friend to sinners of the grossest sort, the kind that are in Sherlock Holmes films and dark and mysterious. But he loved them. And he would not have his disciples rebuke them because they tended to come to him in childlike fashion. When Spurgeon spoke in the great cesspools of London, the room on rare occasions, it is said, royalty slipped in disguise. But every day there were those that were distraught and broken, and childlike in the assessment of their need for help. They were honest enough to know they couldn't put themselves back together. They needed a miracle worker. So when Jesus' disciples start to hinder these little ones, and remember all the things that must have been going on in Jesus' mind, he said, don't hinder them. Because I'm telling you guys, for good and forever, and this congregation here present, they are close to the kingdom. This is how anyone comes in. It is so simple, and yet it is profound. Well, the disciples, as we can imagine their mind, they're saying they're insignificant. Their ideas are childish and immature. They cannot possibly assess the things that are necessary to salvation. All Jesus says is, if any man be in him, they're a new creation. He says, call on me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. He that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, come on, give us something hard to understand. That's too easy. That's too childlike. You mean I just kind of come up to you and say, have mercy on me, a sinner? And you meet me there? And you change me from the inside out in mysterious ways that I don't really know and understand? And you could do that with anyone? And I don't have to have all the answers? You know, I had so many questions before I came to Jesus. So many questions. Because I was so smart. Yeah, I know you know that. I was just brilliant. I was just embarrassingly smart. The fact of the matter was I was embarrassingly naive about the depth of the ocean of knowledge about reality. The fact of the matter was I could read all my science fiction and all my science and all my craziness and all this and all the math and all that, and at the end of the day, I hardly knew my own name in light of the complexity of life. And Jesus says, I know all of you are actually like that. He clears away his disciples. He says, let people who have come to the end of themselves, who actually understand that they're children in the universe. There are people here that put things in space in this room this morning. There are people here that go to the finest institutions, but they're here because they know they cannot live life in their own strength. And they're
not elbowing their way, but they're definitely like little children, have already come to Jesus. You know, Jesus loves little children. And although the disciples are trying to keep them away, I think in heaven we will be shocked how many children they are. Now, I don't know what they'll look like in heaven. I don't know if they'll experience some growth. We get a new body up there, so who knows? But massive amounts of kids, and some of you have lost children, even in the womb, even there. And Jesus says, don't hinder them. He saves to the uttermost, and he saves all of us, although we have Adam's nature in us, in other words, wickedness in our very members and even in our genetic pool. The grace of God reaches down to the tiniest of children and bids them come to him. All of them. There is a place where there will be no more tears, and you'll see your lost child one day in heaven. The reason I preach, is because I don't want to see one lost. I hate the world as I see it. I have been renewed by the Holy Spirit of God to love virtue. I hate inappropriateness in my nature. I love him because he loved me and gave himself for me. My world is broken, and I know what the answer is to this world. It is the change of the individual heart, one heart at a time. And it starts with childlike faith. One day, there will be a multitude of children with you in heaven because he still opens his heart to the tiniest and weakest among the sons of men. He loves you. Do you know the scriptures that says, Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Want me to go here, guys? And the son of man that you visit him. Does he care about the weak and insignificant? Do you feel insignificant, by the way? Do you feel that you don't make a difference in the world? Everyone's cooler, everyone's prettier, everyone's this, everyone's that. Do you know that those who put the tabernacle together and built the temple, the Bible says, were uniquely created by God for their individual purpose of drapery work or woodwork or Paul Spangenberg carpentry or whatever it is. They were made for this, and so were you. And never denigrate your position in the kingdom. Do not do comparisons with other people. They're meaningless ultimately. Come as a child and say, Lord, I'm yours with all my faults, with all my failing. Make me what you want me to be. Does he care about the weak and insignificant? Does he not notice when a sparrow falls to the ground? Does he not consider plants, the lilies of the valley, and does he not clothe them with greater beauty than the finest things in Solomon's world? And does he love little children? Spurgeon said this, multitudes of infant feet are treading the streets of New Jerusalem, snatched from the breast ere they had committed actual sin, delivered from the toilsome pilgrimage of life. They always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. Of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. They don't have time, these ones he's referring to become oh so very bright and smart and distance themselves from the beauty of the Lord Jesus. I find Christ to be the most beauteous person on earth, and yet the Bible says he had no form or comeliness or beauty that we should desire him. It wasn't his outward person. It was the Spirit of the living God dwelling in him that suffered little children to come to him. You know, sometimes among those little children are the next Billy Graham or the next Martin Luther. Do you know that things that would happen to this child could be like endlessly formative? Do you not remember, and the Holy Spirit will probably bring things to your remembrance, the first time you heard of Jesus or some moment with your mom and dad where you knew what unconditional love was? I remember this one moment. I was about 4 years old. My brother was 2 years old. I don't understand it. It was a numinous moment. That means it's a stage that God lights up. And my brother was there. He's a tiny guy. You know, brothers are always fighting, right? They're always just crazy and whatever. And this little boy was there. God, I just wrapped my arms around him, knowing how much I loved him. Do you know that that's what Jesus longs to do for his world? That's what he longs to do for you. It was the grace of God that made that moment for me, and it imprinted on my soul. And when I was deep in sin, I knew I was not made to live like that. It was when I came as a child, got through all the intellectual baloney, I presented myself as a defense against Christianity, and stepped through. Oh, Bill, you ignoramus. You don't have all the answers. You really haven't thought this thing through. No, I have. Unless you come in innocence as a child, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's simple. What does Jesus proclaim? A gospel of a kingdom. And the way we enter the kingdom is with our two feet and ourselves just walking into it. And then the kingdom dwells in us. He comes in us. How do we learn the great and wise things of our universe? By in a childlike way, sitting at his feet and listening and learning over time with patience. You know, a little child doesn't come to Jesus waiting to be holy, waiting to have his act together. I'll come to Jesus when I have my act together. Then you'll never come. You'll never come in. Christ gives us life and eternity. Life is funny. You know, we laud and magnify, not anymore, the great potentates and leaders of our age. I have a guy here, and I've told you this before, who cleans up after you're finished here. And he's more godly than probably I'll ever think of being. His name's Mario Melgarejo. And what's interesting is he's given his life to Jesus Christ, probably primarily because of the drawing of the Holy Spirit through that man in the back there, Marty Reeve, because Marty has kind of a strange evangelist gift of gentility and love. He's childlike in certain ways. I hope he's not listening to this. Please distract him. But I got the privilege to have him on my staff, which really means I do whatever he says, okay? But Mario is like the best among us. And may I brag about him? You know, I've told you this before. His daughter graduated from Stanford. And he's the guy that keeps the house of God clean. Does Jesus love little children? The simple, the new, those who don't speak English so well? You better believe it. As long as they speak the language of heaven, the language of the child to the Father, that's good enough for him. You know, those that are great in the kingdom of God become more and more childlike. You know, they talk about General Mattis. I don't know much about him. Mark's read that biography that's out there. He's a Marine general. I just read one little portion where Mattis is talking to some young officer, and he's there, and he puts his knees kind of very close to him, and he's right there in their space talking to them, I think knowing some of these boys are going to die. And he's got to give them very... It is no surprise that he became what he became in military world. Because in that sense, here's where I'm going, he was childlike. He was like a dad to a kid. I love that. Do you know a great man, a great woman? That's what they're like. They're like Jesus Christ. They're not some loudmouthed bully that's found his way to position through elbowing everybody out of the way. Oh, no, 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 no. He that would be great among you must be the servant of all. The greater a man is in the kingdom of God, the more he becomes, in the best sense, like a child. He doesn't look for vengeance, or she. He doesn't look for fame, nor notoriety. He looks for Jesus and wants him to fellowship with him and be part of his life. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Have you come to the place of seeing that He loves you? And that He wants you in His family? And He wants to, like 4-year-old Bill, gather you to Himself in all purity and all beauty and hold you close. And He doesn't want anyone to hinder you from coming to Him. No one hinder you. Well, I'm not good enough. I've done so wrong. I got a call the other night. Let's just call it terrible drug addiction. Horrible. I'm ashamed of my life. I'm ashamed of myself. What will happen? A Christian had come to him and told him that Jesus still loved him and there was hope for him. And that guy received hope and possibility. And at the moment, he's clean, sober, in his right mind. Jesus sets people on their feet. He doesn't condemn you for what He's doing. He wants to clean you up. He's like a mom or a dad after dinner that's cleaning the face of a beloved child and putting their coat on to go out in the cold, helping them in their infirmity and weakness. I am done, except to say this to you. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of God." To receive Jesus Christ, He's here right now. The Bible says if 2 or 3 are gathered in His name, He's there in the midst. He's here right now. And the way you receive Him is like a child. And you go, "Father," in your heart, you don't have to do it in front of everybody. It's good for you to tell somebody when it happens. But you go, "Father, have mercy on me. I'm sorry. I'm ashamed of what I've done. I need your help." "Well, I'm not ashamed of what I've done," someone says. Friend, if you look deeply into the darkness of yourself, you should be ashamed. You should be disturbed. But God loves you with every fiber of His being so much as to think of you when He's on His way to a cross. That's what love is. Let's bow our heads to pray. If any man be in Christ, He's a new creation. All things, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Lord, there are some here this morning that are just inches away from Your kingdom. And all You require of them is childlike faith and innocence. Not they figure out everything, but they understand love and goodness is found in You. And I declare according to Your Holy Spirit that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them to be like Your Son. Help them to cross from death to life right now. Help them to cross the bridge between sin and heaven by floating over like a little child being carried like a mother into the promised land. Doesn't that sound good? I think it does. I made that decision at 19 years of age. I have never regretted it. Father, come into these Thy children. Anyone who names the name of the Lord shall be saved. If there's even one here, Lord, let them receive You right now. Just say this in your heart. Have mercy on me, a sinner. God, forgive me all my sins. Cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. Make me the kind of person You want me to be. I ask this now in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, the Lord heard you as surely as He heard these little children. And He's come into you and He will change your life. And our advice to you is at some point, tell someone that you made this decision. And at another point when you're ready, signify you did. Just as a sign, it already happened by being baptized.